This is Spectrum.
Alternative Myth, Homeopathy, Secret Society, Hypnosis, The Paranormal, Alternative Energy, UFO Abduction, The Weird, The Wild, and The Wonderful.
With your hosts, Tom Theophanis and Scott Jordan.
Hello, good evening, and welcome to the Spectrum Radio Network on BBS Radio 2. This is Scott Jordan here, my co-host, Tom Theophanis, and remember, there's no such thing as too much information. First of all, I'd like to wish everyone a happy, nondescript, politically correct, religiously and culturally non-offensive, all-inclusive retail holiday season. How you doing there, Tom?
I'm really good. I like that.
Covering all my bases.
Yeah. That's pretty good. Well, tonight's guest is Ben Stewart, who's an internationally acclaimed filmmaker, activist, and musician, who is best known for his films Esoteric Agenda and Chymatica. These films are thoroughly researched and thought-provoking and are highly recommended. Join us tonight as we discuss his films and the nature of human consciousness and how this relates to the societies that we have built in this world. How you doing, Ben?
Great. Actually, that's a great intro. Gives me a lot of insight as to what we could even talk about tonight. I like that.
Good. So tell us a little bit how you got into this filming industry.
Well, it was more by, I guess if you want to say the genre of the film industry that I got into, that was a little bit more not really planned out. I've been in music for quite some time. And a lot of my lyrics had to do with most of the messages that you would hear in Esoteric Agenda and Chymatica. But I really never had any plan to get into the genre of making films and doing what I'm doing now. It sort of chose me. At one point in the band, I was actually trying to work on some video footage that explained some of the lyrics, because I had a lot of people asking what the lyrics were about. And what I did from that point was I just decided that I was going to make a 15-20 minute documentary, something, you know, short, sweet, to the point, explaining the message of the group, of the band, the lyrics. And it eventually turned, as I was going through it, I began doing a lot more research, and a lot of the footage that I was bringing in, I started compiling, and it turned into 30 minutes, 45 minutes, an hour, and then eventually 2 hours and 6 minutes of the information that became Esoteric Agenda, having nothing to do with the band. So after I released that, I just decided to throw it up online. I really had no intentions of what it was going to do, or no expectations, I should say, of what it was going to do. And it really took off quite quickly, and I had a lot of people saying that they were a little bit in the dark, as much as the end kind of explained some of the some solutions to the problem, they still wanted more explanation as to how to apply those solutions. So I decided that I was going to take the next one quite a bit more seriously as to the way it's composed and organized, and that's what turned into Chymatica, because I saw that there was one side of, or one type of genre, this self-help motivational law of attraction type marketing out there. And I saw that and I appreciated it for what it was, but I saw that there was a huge missing element to all of that. And that had to do a lot with the subconscious mind. And so I began delving deep into depth psychology. Obviously, Jung came up, Wilhelm Reich, Eric Newman, Sigmund Freud, all the way back to some of the old philosophers, and eventually deeper into the mystery religions and a lot of occult science, if you will. And I began realizing that that whole side of it that is solutions, which is a big part of my work, as opposed to basically just sitting here and saying what's wrong with the world. I try to give as many solutions as possible. And That's kind of how it turned into that, but I didn't want to be disingenuous. I really wanted people to understand that it's not just about staring at a vision board and getting the things you want, because the things on a vision board are typically going to represent your ego. They're not going to represent what you truly want, because most people who really don't take much time on self-reflection and their own consciousness, they begin to desire those things that will only instantaneously and for a very temporary period of time massage their ego, basically. I call it psychological masturbation. And basically, it's I saw a huge missing link to all of that, and which mm-hmm. is the subconscious mind, and it's a lot of that darker content that pulls from a lot of our primality, a lot of the primal impulses we have, and it goes far beyond that. But just sticking with that, that is what I tried to bring about in Chymatica, to show that yes, there is a law of attraction, yes, there is an amazing power of the mind, but it only comes when you are truly conscious of every activity, every impression that enters your consciousness, and how you behave according to those environmental signals. If you're not conscious of it, then you're going to keep recycling back the same, you're attracting back the same things that you've always had in the past. So that's pretty much this, in synthesis, how I really got to where I am with the films. And I just assume that all the emails that I've been getting of people saying what they like and what they dislike about Chymatica, I take that to heart. I take that very seriously. And the next film is going to reflect what I've learned just from so many supporters, and even people that I wouldn't consider supporters, but those people that send those borderline hate mail emails, I do read it with an open mind and try and understand where a lot of what they're associating it with, where that is coming from, so I could hopefully make it a bit more accessible to people along those lines that typically wouldn't like it. So I keep trying to evolve in my research and in the films, and it really does get into not just the information you put in the films, but the way it's presented. Because again, it's the film could turn into somewhat of an entity on its own, and if that entity is abrasive or it's too in your face or too authoritative, like you're being told what to think, then people aren't going to want to listen. So the attitude of the film is also very important, and that's what I'm trying to take into consideration even more in the next film.
The film I noticed in Chymatica, the one thing I would say is it's almost like a conversation.
Yeah.
It's like I asked you a question, and you spent the duration of the film answering it.
Yeah, and I'm actually very glad that you bring it up that way, actually put it that way, because the one thing that, specifically in Chymatica, I kind of grew with this understanding from Esoteric Agenda into Chymatica, like I was saying, realizing that the way that I present it is going to be the way that people perceive the attitude of the film. So I wanted to be very, very careful to make sure that it felt conversational instead of being like authoritative, like I said, like and being told what to think. So I wanted to feel a little bit more like a conversation. So basically I focused on the tone of the voice, the rhythm of the music, and everything else to really just set up that atmosphere so that it's pleasing to the ears rather than just being, you know, yelled at, which there are a lot of people out there that do this very well. And there are a lot of times people kind of need to be spoken at in a certain way for them to actually get the right association from it. But that's not how that's definitely not how I wanted any of Chymatica to come out, or any of my work for that matter, because the nature of my work is really to allow the audience, to allow the other person to think for themselves.
Plus, it's not how you're wired.
Absolutely.
You're not wired that way. You're not. You have to come across as you. You have to come. You can't come. If you can make up you can make up a role and you can play that role. But it comes across much, but people can pick up on that.
Absolutely. Yeah, and I never try to underestimate. I try to be very conscious of the fact that people, as I've gotten a lot of comments of saying that, yeah, Chymatica is extremely, you know, complex, and you really, really, really have to pay attention to get, to get what's going on. But I don't think that's necessarily the case. I think that there is quite a lot of information in there. But I think that everybody that I know that has watched it has come out of it, even if they didn't understand every little bit and piece, they understood the attitude and the direction of it. And I've asked many people, what do you think the overlying or the underlying message of the entire film is, and nobody has really answered that in a way that I kind of had to take a step back and be like, oh, well, I didn't plan for that. Everyone pretty much says the same thing, which is like, it pretty much says self-governance, sovereignty, sovereignty of the mind, sovereignty of the emotions and the consciousness, it is our own responsibility, and we can't hand it away to anybody, so we have to think for ourselves. And that's honestly the biggest trick, is a lot of the times we don't realize how much energy and power we're actually giving away. We don't realize in many ways how dependent we are upon our community and the people around us to approve of what we're doing, so we feel good enough to keep going with something. And that's one thing I definitely wanted to stress over and over and over again in the film.
And how easily we fall into line and don't even know we're falling into line and just do things because, well, that's just the way it's done. Well, maybe that's not the best way to do it, you know?
Right. And I mean, it's really exciting to actually understand the dynamic between any community, like all the people within the community. And if you look at it as, because I did, around the Esoteric Agenda time, I did kind of have still a little bit of the old me that wished people would kind of see things my way. But that was part of my my growth. I needed to realize that, to really get to the point to where Chymatica is, to where now every single person with their own quirks and their own individuality, it's extremely important to have that balance, almost that perfect recipe that gives us what we have, because what we look at with all these individuals is this is how we project all of that subconscious material. And in many ways, I have a lot of people that say about my work that I'm what they believe I'm trying to do is to revolutionize everything, create revolution to cause large-scale changes to societies and things like, and the way that the system or the machine, if you will, the way it's working right now. But first, I think one step that people typically miss in what I say is it's not actually safe on a large scale, not just humanity-wide, but even in a single nation or in a single community. It's not very safe to those individuals to completely eradicate everything that they have built and sublimated their subconscious mind into. So if things were to change very rapidly, and a lot of the times we don't have the ability to, obviously we don't want to stop change or halt change or anything like that, but instead of trying to force change, which is not organic, based upon seeing, okay, there's a bunch of problems in our society, let's just force a change, I don't think that's very healthy, because people having less than 3% conscious awareness of their own, all of those primal modalities that they have within their subconscious mind, if they were to radically see a change in their environment and to radically see everything kind of falling to pieces, then all of that sublimated subconscious content that they used to project into their society, the fabric of their society, will go away, and they'll have nowhere else to project that onto except for their surrounding members of their community. And we see that a lot, in struggling times, like Katrina, if there's any natural disasters or if there's wartime in war-torn countries, you'll see that when the landscape, the mental landscape and the emotional landscape change so rapidly that people don't really know how to sublimate or project any of that subconscious material out there anymore, then they don't know what to do with it. And it just seems to come out in vast amounts. And they take out all these primal modalities on their community. And really that's when we see the degenerating areas with high crime rates, high rape, looting, theft, areas like that has nothing to do with evil or degenerate people. It has to do with the fact that things are changing so much within their community that they have no idea what to do with all this subconscious content. So it just comes out in the only way that it knows how, and most of the time that's violent.
Yeah. When you started the research on these films, did you have interest in these areas, or was this something that just sort of came about through the research you were doing for that project for your music?
Well, I think I've always had a philosophical and a spiritual edge to pretty much everything that I've done, whether it be through music or any art that I've done in the past. I've always had that sort of an edge to it. But as far as the deeper psychology of it, that's something that I don't think I was ready for just prior to Esoteric Agenda. So that's why most of that film isn't just about that type of research. And it had more to do with just the physical workings of history, the banking industry, and food, what's going on with our food and the water, a lot of agendas, plans, programs that are in place from the UN, political things, economic things. But really, I was just at that point really delving into the more of the psychological, the very deep psychological purposes behind it. So, or the drives behind all of those programs. And I didn't, I understood and I had theories, but I definitely don't want to put just my own, like, ponderings and these questions that I have, and some of the theories I have. I don't want to throw them, into any film that's going to go on the internet and people are going to see it if it's half-assed, if you will. So really what I wanted to do was, give it some time, really understand it myself, and then when I feel comfortable to the fact where I really understand these deeper occult subjects, then I can put it out into a film. And I believe that it naturally grew exactly the way that it was supposed to.
So there was definitely an evolution.
Absolutely, and that's I mean, Esoteric Agenda, I probably wouldn't make a film like that right now, but I'm glad that I did at that point, and I'm glad that I released it how I did. And I've had people ask me several times, if I had the chance to go back and change large portions of Esoteric Agenda, would I? And I would have to say no, even though there are things that that I could have done better, and I recognize that now. But to me, it spoke to the truest point of where I was in my evolution. It spoke to the truest me at that time, and so did Chymatica. As soon as Chymatica was done, I kept doing so much research, and I would say maybe 2-3 months after the film had been released back in 2009, I had already had ideas for 3 more documentaries.
Yeah.
And that's the problem. That's one of the things that I've been wanting to get into more, was releasing more films, obviously, but there's so much information out there. Right. That I really try to give myself time to sit on it, synthesize it, and put it very succinctly, because the last thing I want to do, which, I mean, quite a few people out there do, and I remember the feeling that I got when I went to, say, Alex Jones' website the first time and noticed that there's, you know, 100, 200 documentaries on there. It's overwhelming. It's almost far too much. And so what I gauged from that was I want to do the exact opposite. I want there to be very few films, but very well put together films that speak to a whole story. Because you can get information anywhere. You can get some of the details on conspiracies anywhere on the internet. But when it comes to these, deep, deep philosophical and occult studies, there's not as much. There's just a lot of, and I hate to call it rhetoric, because a lot of what I see speaks very true, but the thing is it doesn't speak to anybody other than the group or the demographic that really understands occult matters. It doesn't try to bridge the gap between any other demographic, which is what I'm trying to do. And it's a difficult thing, but I take that back. It's not that difficult. It's just a matter of speaking from the heart instead of trying to make a psychological or an intellectual point.
Yeah, I bet that what happened, I'm going to just guess here, that after you made Esoteric Agenda, you probably got a bunch of emails, and you get stuff like, hey, have you seen this? Hey, have you seen this? You know,
yeah.
Links and people just throwing information at you. You know, check this out. It's like, you know.
Yeah.
And that could actually help with your, you know, with your research.
Yeah, I mean, and I do. I try to look at as many documentaries as possible, and I try not to go for the for because there's millions of those 10-minute little documentaries on things, and I try to go for more of the complete thoughts. But I do. I read as much as possible, and I watch the documentaries. I'll listen to audiobooks. But then there's times where I really need to remove myself from that. And actually, I've recently my phase my evolution has brought me to a phase where I haven't really been reading at all, and I haven't been doing research. At least on the internet and things like that at all. What I've been researching more is actual behavior and just being a conscious observer of what's going on in my environment to really understand how people behave. Because I can keep reading and reading and reading, but those are other people's thoughts, other people's ideas. And I want to be very, very true to myself and then true to the supporters of the Hangman Project and Talismanic Idols. And I really feel that one thing that will separate my work from most of the work that's out there is progressively now stepping more into an artistic side as opposed to just giving information and, information overload. What I really want to do is more speak to those subtle aspects of the human psyche, the emotional side. That's not really touched upon in a lot of these documentaries because I feel that's something that's being neglected.
Yeah, well, and it's sort of like now that we've used the wide brush to paint in the background, let's get some fine brushes and start painting in the features.
Absolutely. Right? If you look at any house, you have the structure, and the structure is those solid factual foundations, but that's not what makes a house a home. What makes a house a home are all those beautiful little artistic touches that really almost gives it that flavor, that uniqueness to it. And that's kind of what I'm trying to do with this whole genre of information.
Okay, we're going to have to go to a break, but we'll be back in a few minutes, okay?
Great.
AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com is your gateway to over 500 products ranging from herbs to pain relief products, health, and well-being. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com is dedicated to educating and empowering you to make the best possible informed decisions about what products you can use to improve your health and well-being. Visit AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com and bring about change in your life.
If you suffer or know someone that suffers from back pain, knee pain, or any other chronic or sports-related pains, you need to visit LapingoProducts.com. Dealing with pain can affect every aspect of your life, which is why our products are designed to bring you real relief. Our products are not only easy to use, effective, and safe for the entire family, but our prices are competitive and offer a complete satisfaction guarantee. Visit LapingoProducts.com, real life solutions for pain-free living.
And we're back. Okay, we were talking about the evolution from Esoteric Agenda to a Chymatica. Now that has further evolved into a new pro. Oh, a quick question, just before I get into that. You mentioned at the beginning that you started this because you wanted to do sort of a visual representation of what your band was singing about. I never did get the name of your band. What was the name of your band? And are you guys still together and doing shows?
Oh, absolutely. The band name is Hierosonic. That's like hieroglyphics. So it's spelled Hierosonic, and that's all one word. And yes, absolutely, the band is together. It's actually doing extremely well right now. There's a lot of really cool things happening for the band that is great for the cause and for the movement, because really it's going to be reaching a different demographic. So The films are definitely going to be getting into the hands of more of the younger generation, because there is quite a bit of a younger demographic that watches the films, but the band is actually going to push that a little bit more. And it's quite a bit of the same message. It's just a little bit more obviously it's on the art side of it, so it's a little bit more philosophical. And so some of the lyrics are very direct, some of them are a little symbolic, but they actually tie in very much so to the films. And what we're actually looking at doing is, in the same way, there's going to be a documentary for the band that is actually explaining a lot of the lyrics and a lot of the message of what the band is doing for the cause. And that's obviously going to be separate from the Hanged Man Project, because the Hanged Man Project really is its own entity, and it's not going to be used whatsoever for any other purpose, not for my band, not for other bands. It's not going to be there to have advertisements on it. It's not there to sell products. It's really just there for the people to get together on the forums and to read some of the articles, because I have a few journalists now that are going to be writing quite a few articles weekly for the site. So the way that the band is kind of intermingling and meshing with the DVDs is really only on the Talismanic Idol side of things, but it's there to promote the Hanged Man Project and really spread awareness of the Hanged Man Project. So it's going to be used in that direction. The band will support the Hanged Man Project, but the Hanged Man Project is not there to support the band, because
I see.
It sits by itself.
Okay.
Before we go on to the Hangman Project, I want to find out how long were you doing the research for these two films?
Well, with Esoteric Agenda, I would say the bulk or the majority of the research started maybe a year and a half or 2 years prior to the film release. And that was when I guess I decided to start working on the film. But most of the, maybe 30 to 40% of the information and the underlying like backbone of the entire film, I had already had a good sense of. I just needed some more of like the details. So a lot of the history, a lot of the research on religion, a lot of the research on the mind and the power of the mind and the emotions, a lot of that I definitely had a good grasp on. But most of the rest of it had to do with like government programs and things like that. And that was all the research I had to do in the year leading up to the film release. But I would say once I started researching for Esoteric Agenda, the research didn't stop at all. It pretty much went all the way up until Chymatica. And then through Chymatica, I kept researching even more. It was actually 15, 16 hours a day I was researching for weeks on and months on end. And then eventually I decided that I needed to kind of take a step back from that. So after Chymatica, the research kind of slowed down and happened to be more, again, of like observing my environment and not reading, not filling my head full of other people's information and other people's theories, and really just integrating it with myself. But the research, oh yeah, absolutely. That's very necessary, not just for me, but I believe for a lot of people to have that balance.
But how did you sort of get into these areas when your initial start, like you were mentioning, was doing a video about the band? Like, what was the relationship?
I think he said he was always interested in the area.
Yeah, specifically at that time, it was actually more about the media. And you'll actually see a lot about a lot in the lyrics leading up to that film had a lot to do with the media. And I was always fascinated by not simply just the media, but the television and the entertainment industry, the movies, how they kind of guide whole eras of thought, basically. So when you look back in the 30s, 40s, 50s, 60s, 70s, 80s, 90s, all the way up to where we are today, typically when you ask somebody to look back, one of the first thoughts they think of, if you pick a decade, is music or movies. So it's actually this like cultural zeitgeist that really moves throughout the decades. And I realized that a lot of it had to do with what is being presented to people on that little tube that sits in the corner of their living room, or and now it's more of the computer. So I always found that very interesting, and understanding how the mind works and how the mind associates between different neural regions and how emotions affect our physiology, and how the depths of psychology and the depths of consciousness actually affect the entire world, the entire planet that we're living on. And I found that so fascinating that that's a lot of what I was getting into at the time of Esoteric Agenda. But most of the research, when it started getting into, say, Agenda 21 or the fluoride in the water, or trying to think of some of the other programs, the UN PMO programs. Yeah, things like that. All of those things just had to do with when I decided I was going to be making a film, I wanted there to be actual facts to back up a lot of the claims that I was making. So that's where all that research came in. And none of that's on the band side, because that's really too factual. It stands there as a reference.
Yeah, great. I'm going to get into...
I have one more question. Sorry to cut you off. When you shot these two films, like, what was your thinking before you've done this, and how has that changed?
Well, I can start first with Esoteric Agenda. The mind frame before that was I really was looking at everything that was going on the planet as a symptom already at that time. I realized that everything that was happening, all the way from the elite down to basically the haves and the have-nots, from the lower class all the way up to the upper class, what I was finding out was that all of these things that are going on are definitely symptoms, but I didn't quite understand what. It's very easy to look at other people's theses that say, okay, it's the mind, it's psychology, it's consciousness, it's things like that that really drives every culture and every economy, every political structure. But I understood that intellectually, but I didn't truly understand it. I didn't comprehend it to the core of my being. So I really didn't want to add too much of that in the film. So what I did was I drew parallels to it. And the reason why I stayed on the think for yourself type of tone for all of Esoteric Agenda was because I wanted to draw all these parallels, but allow for the audience, the viewer, to look at it and say, okay, well, I see the overall consensus of what's going on, but what does that mean? And that's why the whole end of that film had to do with what's actually going on is an inner battle. And I didn't want to tell people what I felt about it, even though I did have very strong opinions about it. I wanted people to come to their own conclusions. And then that was really the mind frame around Esoteric Agenda. But for Chymatica, if I'm understanding your question correctly, Chymatica, the kind of the mind frame that I was at beforehand of that one, was I really felt that I needed to present something a lot more, I don't want to say basic because it doesn't seem too basic, but it's really, it's getting down to the fundamental principles of why whole societies and whole generations and whole cultures, just within the last 100 years, have moved so dramatically in one direction and one direction only. So I wanted to, again, draw parallels to that. So I threw in some information and some details, but I really brought it back down to, and I used a lot of dark, like a lot of black and a lot of darker colors in that film to really show that this is something that not a lot of light has been shed on. And actually, psychologically, what that does is it really does, it lowers a lot of the stimulation when there's more of like the darker, the contrast to it. It lowers a lot of the stimulation, and it's not just a bunch of flashy things in the eyes. It basically allows for you to get into and understand the actual intention behind the film, which I don't care if everybody thinks that all the information and the details are completely useless in there, as long as they do understand the attitude or the essence of the film. That's all that I really want for people to take out of the film. I don't care if they remember any of the facts or the details or anything like that. I just want them to understand the underlying tone of it.
The underlying message.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, I get that. And definitely, I think he did a great job. I'm a big fan of Chymatica, big fan of Esoteric Agenda. Chymatica just hit me up. I've been researching for, 25, almost 30 years. And it wasn't so much it was new information, because it wasn't to me. But Chymatica just hit me upside the head in his presentation. I was like, okay, wow. That's a way to just give this to your friends. Watch this. Change your reality. Seriously. Right. I can spend the next 5 years talking about this stuff to you, but just watch this. It'll clear it all up. To me, that was what Chymatica was. Chymatica, to me, was a tool. I already had a lot of the same concepts in my head. But to put them out in a visual and audio format is not easy to do, and arrange it and structure it in such a way that it tells a story from beginning to end, and to educate people, that's what you have to do.
Right, and I think the number one, which is, this is how we can kind of get into the Hanged Man project.
Yeah, I'd love to get into that.
Yeah, the number one reason why I really am gearing the Hanged Man project more towards the artistic. The artistic side, even though it's not solely that, because I don't want to neglect anything from the Hangman Project, but it's taking a little bit more of that route, because as you know, with anything, specifically within consciousness, the electromagnetic qualities of it, it needs balance. We definitely need balance, and one thing that I believe is definitely going to balance a lot of the energy that we see today is more of that artistic draw, because I think that art has been one thing that has been slowly degraded, at least in the past 20 years. And there are some amazing artists out there, and I'm not just talking about music, I'm talking about any type of art. I think even the movies, you can find some beautiful art there. And as much as a lot of people say that Hollywood is nothing but a bunch of propaganda, it's really only the way you take it. And that's like saying money is evil. And I've said it in Chymatica, money is not evil. It's the intentions within people that money draws out. If we sublimate all that psychic content into what money is, if you really look at the underlying tone of what money is a conduit for energy. That's all it is. And we are the ones who fill that conduit with our energy. So it couldn't be the money, these pieces of cotton paper, that are evil. It's what we do with it, obviously. And so what I began to realize, and that came, that whole rant came from the Hollywood side of things, because I do actually believe that there are some films out there that really do show strong allegory and strong messages. And regardless if there is a little bit of, propaganda here and there, the underlying, even because I really get into script reading. I like I do a lot of screenwriting myself. So I understand the artwork that actually has to go into what a film turns into. It's incredible. And I try to know all these things, because one of my biggest intentions, not for the Hangman Project, this is more me personally, but one of my biggest intentions in the near future is to find a form of art that is a form of media, really, that hasn't been, I can't say that hasn't been done before, because almost everything has been done before with multimedia, the visual arts and the audio and different aspects to that. But that's one thing that I have been taking into consideration a lot, is this whole genre of information that Chymatica and Esoteric Agenda is in. I definitely like the fact that it is factual and it has intellectual information in there. But to balance that, I really believe it needs that artistic side to it. And mm-hmm. I believe that it's so unbalanced right now that I, at least with myself, I would like to see a lot more of an artistic push. And as soon as on the Hangman Project site, I basically released my intentions, a goal that I have for the Hanged Man Project being an art revolution. And right. What that is going to be is basically, it could be anything in the art side, but I said just to start, I'll have anyone anywhere in the world that wants to send in music, if it comes from the heart, if it comes from the soul, send it in, and I'm going to try and actually, you know, make a compilation, and I will be using some of it for the film, and basically taking other people's artwork, other people's music, and integrating it into a multimedia documentary or something along those lines, to show that there's this huge demand for art, because art is the last of a dying breed of self-expression. There's not much of it anymore. Art is actually a form of shamanism. Art's a form of magic, in a way. And I think that's something that is very misunderstood nowadays because of the entertainment industry. It's art turned into an industry that basically began generating revenue, and that brought in the whole other aspect of the human psyche, which is that survival mode. And once people began linking survival mode and how comfortable they are in, you know, their comfort zone with something like art and free expression, then it began limiting art extremely. And right. I mean, I really wish that people would take a minute and really let that soak in, because, again, like I was saying before, music and movies and the arts is really what defines certain eras, because that is the only free expression that we really have nowadays. So it defines the decades as you go on. And right. if that's lost in many ways, there's really nothing left of that free expression. And it's really like the greatest fears. You see all these movies that are about epidemics and pandemics, like I Am Legend and the movie Outbreak and
zombie this, zombie that.
What that to me very much so represents is why those movies are so popular. Look at the subconscious appeal to something like that. And I'm not saying appeal as in a good thing, but a kind of. The reason why we watch those is because it really strikes a deep chord in us, realizing that we're becoming an emotionless, very strictly intellectual society all around the world. The arts are being taken out of every educational system, and the arts that remain in any educational system are typically more formulaic and mathematic than anything. If you look at it, they're not yeah. telling you, okay, express yourself freely. What they say is, here's a vase, and here is a certain type of like abstract artwork that we want you to recreate. Basically, do it by the numbers, color within the lines, and you'll get an A. Well, that is not free expression. That's math. That's formulaic.
Yeah.
And I think that that's not just because, you know, the Rockefellers have something to do with the General Education Board. It's not because of any individual. It's not because of any group. It's because
it's part of it.
It's definitely part of it. But we, none of that would exist if it weren't for our compliance. Absolutely none of it. So the thing is they are more symbols of what we desire nowadays as a society rather than the cause of those problems.
Yeah, I mean, I think the music industry, the TV, if future generations look back on our generation, and they look back at our generation's music, TV, and movies, what they're going to see is lowest common denominator.
Mm-hmm.
Because all of those things have had all of the energy sucked out of them, and is just being played for the lowest common denominator. If you're sitting on the couch with a beer on your stomach, you know, watching a football game, you don't have to think. If you're watching some of the videos that are on the I don't have TV. I haven't had TV for 18 years.
Yeah. But
if you're watching any of that stuff, you know, it's lowest common denominator. There's nothing really highly stimulating. And when you do find something that's highly stimulating, it's like fine dining.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, absolutely.
Come across that stuff. It's like, oh my God, that's so good, and it's because it's outside of the program stuff that's just regurgitated out there in movies. I mean, movies now are basically made for 15-year-olds.
Yeah,
that's it. That's what you're looking at. Don't try to be intellectual about it because you're not going to get any of that. The odd one comes out, and when it does, it's like fine dining. It's like, wow, that was so good.
Yeah. No, absolutely. I mean, I'm actually glad that you even brought it up. The one way to look at it is the general I guess, again, I would say, like, the general zeitgeist of our era, in future generations, if you were to look back on our generation now, what is it going to look like? Because if you think about it, all we have to look back in our own history, whether it be the last 100 years, the past several thousand years, the past 10,000 years of history, if you're looking back in those generations, the only thing we have to go off of is of understanding the evolution of human consciousness are those core pillars, I guess, of their society, which have to do with art, because the four pillars of society are art, religion, science, and philosophy. You'll find them in absolutely every single culture everywhere around the world for as long as we at least have written record. And the interesting thing about that is, going ahead maybe 100 years and looking back onto our time, what would we say about it? And I think that's a very good exercise or practice for people to do, for any of the listeners to do, is to really look at our time and look at the underlying message that's being portrayed. And if you look at the entertainment industry, whether that's going to, you know, somehow still exist 100 years from now, if you look back in our generation right now, what do you see the most of in advertising? What do you see the biggest appeal of in movies and in music all over the radio? What are the impulses that you see the most on there that attract people? And it really comes down to sex, violence, degeneration in many ways. In many ways, nowadays, it's not hip or fashionable to be extremely not just intelligent but emotionally intact. It's not very hip to be conservative and religious. It's not very hip to be a very genuine stand-up person anymore. And I'm at least talking about my generation. If you look at a lot of the music and if you look at a lot of the movies, the people that we relate to the most, the music that we want to hear, the characters that we want to see in our movies are those badasses, the ones that can get away with saying anything, like House on TV. The reason why he seems to be such a popular character, if you look at it, he's indignant. He's completely indignant and emotionless in many ways, and there's underlying currents of the emotion, and I like how they add it in that show. I'm not actually talking bad about that show. What I'm talking about is what people, what the viewer wants to see now. We want to hear artists and musicians singing about going to the bars and getting wasted and starting fights and really these very primal things that having to do with violence, competition, nothing but like money, the material things. And I mean, it's not very hard to see, but if you look at TV even,
if a new show comes out and it's not, the storyline isn't basic soft porn, with the text, the communication in the story being sexual innuendo, it doesn't make it through the first season.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, that's the core. Sex is definitely the core primal impulse that people look for in most of any type of media whatsoever, whether it be a video game, whether it be a movie, whether it be music. And if you think about it, obviously, I just did a presentation in Puerto Rico where I showed several slides of all of the sexual references in children's movies, all of the sexual references in not just references, hidden symbolism, like images. Hidden images and symbolism, and even the words sex, shapes, different things that give a very phallic or some very feminine symbol to it in some way, shape, or form. There's a lot of phallic imagery in alcohol or liquor ads.
Oh yeah,
in Coca-Cola ads. But I mean, that's really limiting it too much because you see it everywhere. I mean, there is sexual symbolism hidden in absolutely everything. If you look at anything, even programs on the computer sometimes have this, and it becomes
video games. Yeah,
yeah. I mean, so pretty much everything you look at. But then again, you have to really ask the question then, why? Because if you look at the subconscious mind is a 7-year-old child, not even. It stays around that because it's very primal. So it looks very animalistic, because whether that's the course of evolution coming from the animal kingdom into the human kingdom, and when you degenerate, you almost degenerate back into those primal animalistic drives. But what then? So you really have to ask, what makes a human a human? What really differentiates a human from any other kingdom? And it comes down to conscious will. It comes down to our will, because it's not about neglecting those primal impulses or ignoring them. It's about acknowledging them, but realizing that it doesn't serve us. So moving on to, and I'm not just saying more intellectual or sophisticated realms. I'm saying, but just a more subtle and compassionate and loving, deep-rooted connection with all the flora and the fauna of the earth, our food, having relationships with our own community, learning how to communicate with people, knowing ethics, understanding love, understanding compassion, you know, as well as you could understand love, because obviously love isn't just part of the human kingdom. It's a phenomena that has been alive long before humanity and will exist long after humanity. But I mean, if you think about it, none of this is taught in the educational system. Like, the educational system is supposedly there to help the individual. It's supposedly there to not raise the child, but to help educate the child. But if you look at the term educate, to educate comes from, it's a Latin I think it was educare or something, which basically it means to, or educo or something along those lines, which means to educe or to draw out of a child, which is completely different from what you see in the educational system. In the educational system, we shove information into the minds of the children and we train them to, on command, just like we would a dog throwing a treat, we train them on command to organize all that information and then regurgitate it on command. And that, to me, sounds a lot more like a computer than it does a child or a human entity. So basically, the educational system, in many ways, teaches us how to run the gears of society. It does not teach us how to be an individual. It doesn't even give us the opportunity to be an individual. It limits us through job placement and saying these aptitude tests that say, okay, well, you're good at this, this, and this. That means this is the best career for you. You know, guidance counselors will send you off into the world thinking that that's all these children can do with their level of aptitude, which really just has to do with running the gears of society, grinding those gears. And it has, in no educational system around the world have I seen, at least in Western educational systems, have I seen any mention of ethics, like real ethics. Yeah. Even in an ethics class, it's more formulaic. It really has nothing to do with
Read Aristotle Ethics and tell me what you think of it. A lot of what the school system is memorize and regurgitate. Just memorize and regurgitate. You want to get in trouble? Ask why.
Mm-hmm.
If they come up with a question and they're asking you the question, before you give them the answer, you say, why would that be? Why is that? Why?
Exactly.
And why that question? Why not angle it this way? Well, no, that's not how. What? Just answer the darn question the way we're supposed to.
Right. We're not taught how to think. We're taught what to think. And in many ways, it's completely antithetical to the human organism. Because if you think about it, children immediately know, instantaneously from birth, they know how to learn. They learn through their environment. They learn through observation, which is the true form of learning. But when information, pretty much useless information, is shoved into the child's mind and the child's memory, it's not even really about that specific information. It really isn't. It's about entraining the mind to be able to take in information and regurgitate it. Basically, it's implanting a psychological form of software, just like you would put software onto a computer. All it is entraining the mind to be able to perform a specific task that later on, when they get out of high school and they get out of college, then they can be placed into a different mechanism within the entire machine of the system that we call society today. And within that mechanism, they're told what to do, they comprehend it, and they just grind those gears. Basically, the whole system, this societal system, is a machine, and we're taught how to be the little pieces of that machine. And that's by our own design in many ways.
I agree. It's like a mass-produced profile. They just install it, and it's like, you know, all the machines are the same. It's like everybody's, you know, running with a Mac, you know.
Absolutely.
And I don't really know how to extend that into, like, third world countries and how it applies to them. And I know there's being a lot of withheld from those sorts of societies. And
absolutely. And,
you know, stuff like that. We're going to have to go for a quick break. We're going to do that right now.
Okay.
Are you suffering from constant pain in the knee, shoulder, wrist, and other parts of your body? Needle-free acupuncture with Lapingo Life Pads may be the answer. Lapingo Life Pads combine ancient wisdom with modern nanotechnology and advanced engineering. They're designed to relieve pain naturally with no needles and no side effects. That's Lepingo, lapingoproducts.com.
You've always been told to think about the alternative. Well, we can do better. We can show you. AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com will improve your health, well-being, and lifestyle through hundreds of different products, from herbs and well-being products to our large selection of specialty clothing, jewelry, and more. We ship around the world with a 100% satisfaction guarantee. There's always new products and amazing specials. Let us show you at AlternativeLifestyleProducts.com.
And we're back. Okay.
So Ben, do you feel that the points that you were trying to put across were well received?
Which points? I'm sorry.
Like on both films, like your conclusions, your ideas.
Yes, I absolutely believe that. I would say for the majority, they were very well received. I received specifically three types of emails after that, and this still goes on today. And this is just really going off of the feel that I get from the intentions of the ones sending the emails. I get a lot of people that say they absolutely love everything in the films, and you know, they'd like to start a dialogue, or you know, they just want to say thank you, or they want to contribute in some way, shape, or form, because they absolutely love it. Obviously, there are the others that they don't, and they really don't like the information and more of like the details in there. I've never really had anyone challenge me on the intention of it. I've never really had anybody really challenge me on the obviously saying that self-governance and self-sovereignty, sovereignty of the mind. I've never had anyone say that that sounds like a bad idea, obviously. And then I have others who give more constructive criticism, which is great, because criticism is what helps me. Specifically, if I'm going to be a public figure at all, which, you know, I never intended to do it in this way, in the music industry, that's a different thing. I always intended to have somewhat of a voice that way, but I never intended for anything like this to happen. I'm very grateful for the opportunity, though. So I figure that if I'm going to be any form, you know, whatsoever of a type of public figure, then I really need to take into consideration what people say, even if they don't say it in a very pleasing or a calm or a very compassionate way. I still try to take into consideration what drove them to send hate mail or what drove them to say something like that. And typically it reflects more on them than it does me. So I don't take it personally, but when there's constructive criticism, I really actually prefer to have constructive criticism than for somebody to just say they loved everything about the film and they wouldn't change a thing, and they're going to buy 100 DVDs and hand them out to their friends. That's great. I absolutely I appreciate that and the support and everything like that. But I would prefer that if they do have anything to challenge in it, that they voice that, because I'm not here just to give my opinion, and I don't care what anybody else thinks. It's not that type of attitude. The reason why I made the Hangman Project is because I want people's opinions. I want people's theories. I want people's philosophies. I want to know how people are taking the information. I want to know what other people are thinking. I want to know what I could do better.
Right.
So that's really the way that it's received is those three ways. There's the people that absolutely love it. There's the people that absolutely hate it. And there's those that understand it and they give constructive criticism as to how I can make it better.
But okay. do you think that are we changing? Do you find there's enough people that are starting to lean towards these areas?
I absolutely see that this is the number one biggest growing field, and it's really thanks to the internet. It wouldn't have to be the internet, but any type of media that quickly transfers information that's absolutely free, because there's nothing to stop somebody that has the internet from going online and just looking at information up on YouTube or on, you know, anything, on any type of website whatsoever. There's nothing to stop people. When it comes to a product that has to be purchased, there is something to stop. But, you know, that doesn't stop too many people. But once it turned into something where information was given freely, without charge, without stipulation, without any, you know, hidden attachments. As soon as that happened, this became the number one biggest growing field. And that tells me something. That tells me something about the, you know, the general drive within people. There, obviously, we see a lot of misunderstanding and a lot of confusion within our culture with how to integrate a lot of this information. But just the fact that people are very, very hungry for the truth, that speaks volumes to me. And for, you know, there's a lot of people that don't necessarily agree with my work, and you know, there's a lot of people where I don't necessarily agree with their work. And the thing I love about it, what I'm actually seeing, is a lot more cooperation and accepting of other people's beliefs, at least within this field, within this genre. And I absolutely love that, because that really means that that's one of those core ethics of truly accepting the individuality of others and accepting that their path is their own. And if they truly feel that they need to do something in a certain way, and if they need to get their own opinion across in a certain way, who am I to say that they should do it in this way or that way? You know, I'm just a person that has my own philosophies and beliefs. So I love the diversity. I love the dynamic that I see in this field. And yes, it is the number one biggest growing field, like right now. So I that gives me a lot of hope.
Yeah. I got a question. What is the framework? I mean, is the Hey Man Project, is that going to come out as a full length sort of a documentary, or is it sort of a more of an information based thing or a gathering place where you're going to gather a bunch of information and people can just go there?
Well, as of right now, it's more of a place where people gather, and that's not going to limit it to just that. Obviously, there are many things that are going to be done with it. There's going to be documentaries. There's going to be compilation albums. There's going to be art exhibits. There's going to be I could get into this maybe a little later, maybe in another interview at some point. But what I just spoke out in Puerto Rico about was setting up a form of an educational system that is completely opposing and I shouldn't say opposing, balancing to what we have right now for children, but also for people of any age. And it's not there to compete. It's not there to attack, because I'm not trying to draw that energy of attacking the system the way it is. I would like to balance the system the way it is. And I think, you know, that's generally what the Hanged Man Project is all about. But the reason why there is less direction right now in the Hanged Man Project than there probably are in a lot of other movements and projects is because I'm not in a hurry to really establish a direction of what I see the world, you know, where I would like to see the world go, or where I would like to see humanity go. I'm not in a hurry to do that, because I want to hear it from the people. I'm not just going to be one person that says, I think this is a great way to run society, let's get working. Because actually the biggest thing I would fear in that case is not that people would say no, it's that people would actually say yes. And that's not what I want. I don't want the world to look the way I want it to look right now. I want the world to be the best for everybody. And it's very possible that the way that I want it to look, even though I may have great intentions, is not best for everybody. It's not conducive to other people's paths, and I need to be open to that. So I don't want it to be Ben Stewart making a decision on how revolution can come about. I want it to come organically. I want it to come naturally. And the reason why I say that is because we don't force the body to become healthy. We allow the body to become healthy. And there's a huge difference, because medicine and things like that, that's forcing the body to, in some way, shape, or form, either flatline or to lower a certain symptom, but it's not allowing for the body to be able to regenerate and rejuvenate and keep itself healthy. And what we're doing to the planet right now is we're trying to force it to be healthy, and that's not going to work. And that's not going to work on a physical level. That's not going to work on an emotional level, a psychological level, a spiritual level, a conscious level. It's not going to work anywhere. In the long run, all it's going to do is delay the inevitable. And the inevitable is, if this is the path we want to keep taking, the inevitable is the destruction of our entire planet. And this is a very real thing. This isn't just scare tactics. Because right. we see what's happening to the planet. Whether we want to admit to it or not, we see the systematic destruction of large ecosystems. So right. This has to be taken very seriously, and this is why I take this work extremely seriously. And I'm not about to say that, okay, let's pick up our guns and let's go, you know, start a revolution. Or let's sign a bunch of petitions and get a bunch of politicians thrown out of office. I'm not going to sit here and pretend that I know what the world is supposed to look like in 10, 15, 20 years.
Although the politicians will do that.
Yeah. Oh, absolutely.
They'll be more than happy to stand up in front of you and, you know, tell you any inconvenient truth or whatever.
Oh, absolutely. And I mean, the thing is we need to understand why we respond so well to the politicians doing that. It's not the fact that they're deceiving us. It's the fact that we're allowing ourselves to be deceived. We need to understand there's a huge difference, just like there was a huge difference between forcing the earth to become healthy and allowing the earth to become healthy. It's the same principle that really drives the reason why we want to be told what the future is going to look like, because we don't want the responsibility ourselves. We want a figure that we hold in higher regard to ourselves to give us a solution, because that is primal. That is what children do with their parents. Children don't want to go off and live on their own. They want their parents to give them structure. They want their parents to keep them healthy, to feed them, to protect them if there's danger. But they don't want to do it on their own, because whether it's an unconscious or an innate understanding, they can't take care of themselves right now. So I don't want to force anything upon people that can't take care of themselves. I mean,
the parents are the heroes.
Absolutely. And we absolutely have the ability to be sovereign, but we are not sovereign right now. And that is the difference. You cannot force people to take responsibility for themselves. You have to allow them to make that decision for themselves. So when I see all these projects, and there's a bunch, I'm not going to name any by name because I'm not putting any of them down, but I see a lot of projects, a lot of movements, a lot of people establishing organizations that are trying to fix the world, that are trying to force the world to do something in a certain way. And I understand that the intentions are good. They want to see the health of the planet. But the attentions of a 5-year-old child operating on a patient performing brain surgery, maybe the child really wants to help that person, but if they're not able to, if they don't have the comprehension or the understanding of what they're doing, they're just going to cause more harm. And I'm not trying to draw a parallel between these groups and these organizations and the mentality of a 5-year-old child. That's not at all what I'm saying. What I'm trying to get across is the fact that who is to say that right now, I could say exactly what I want the world to look like in 5 years, but who's to say that is the actual correct path? So again, it all comes back to we need to make the decisions ourselves as individuals to become sovereign. Then once we're sovereign, it'll come like clockwork to us. Once we start listening to the heart.
There's no training. There's no training to be – well, there's very little training to be sovereign. You're trained – to toe the line. You're trained to be a cutout character by the military, by the education system, by religion, by society, by culture. I don't see very much sovereignty training other than, say, some of the stuff that you're doing and a few others.
Absolutely. All it is really and what I – if I could basically – in synthesis, say what the Hanged Man Project, what the intention of it, what I'm trying to build out of it, what the major intention is to provide the tools for individuals to deconstruct all the conditioning that they've had throughout the years, to understand and comprehend and become conscious of themselves. Because I believe that if you are conscious of yourself, if you are just conscious and aware of what you, who you are, what you are doing on this planet and the ramifications of all of your actions. And I'm not just talking about physical actions, emotional, mental, because we know that those things change the physiology of the body and they change our environment. If people just become aware and conscious of everything that they do, I truly believe that they would understand how we as entire nations, as societies, as humanity are really destroying the planet, and we're destroying ourselves. We're destroying any hope for us to truly be able to revive ourselves or to learn a lesson from what we've done. We're destroying the planet so quickly that even if there were to be a large revolution of thought within the next 5 years, there's no telling whether we will, within 5 years of the abuse that the planet is taking right now, we'll be able to maintain it. Now, the Earth might be able to maintain it for another 500 years. Who knows? But really, I mean, there's statistics that show the population boom, the resources that are being destroyed and wiped out, the species of insects, the species of plants that are being destroyed en masse. And I'm not saying that any of this is unnatural or negative or anything like that, because then again, who am I really to say what direction we should take? But as long as we are conscious and aware of the fact that, yes, there are species being extinct by the day, there are large ecosystems that are systematically being shut down, and pretty much it's the systematic destruction of the entire planet, whether that's supposed to happen or not, all I want is for us to be aware of what we're doing, aware of our behavior.
I got a quick. We're going to have to end here, but what I would like to do is I would like to get your information out there. Where do people go to get a copy of Chymatica? Where do people go to sign up? Now, you have a newsletter for the Hangman Project, is that correct?
Yes, I have a newsletter, and on hangmanproject.com. That's Hanged Man, HangedManProject.com. On that site, if you were to go to the forums, you'll get a lot of information that way. But you can also sign up on the mailing list and newsletters. I've been having problems with actually getting newsletters out recently, but that is going to be remedied very soon. And I apologize for the lack of newsletters that have gone out for all those listening. But it is going to be a lot more interactive coming very soon. I have people that are going to be doing articles for the website. You can purchase the films to help support future projects. You could just click on the support tab in hangmanproject.com, or you could go to talismanicidols.org, which is just the production company side of it.
Right, okay. So, yeah, I remember I got some emails and the newsletter, and then it just stopped. So hopefully we'll be getting those soon. And
yeah, I'll get that back up.
If there's any updates as far as the Hangman Project, are you also posting those on your site?
Oh, absolutely. I'm trying not to overload the site with too much of me. Obviously, I want to put up my the talks that I give and the presentations that I give, like the one I just did in Australia, the one I just did in Puerto Rico earlier this year in Brazil.
Where are your future dates?
Well, I am probably still looking at the possibility of doing March 12th in New Brunswick, New Jersey for the Z-Day event, which is the Zeitgeist Movement. They're holding an event on March 12th, and they invited me to speak there. So I'm looking into doing that. But the whole next year is probably going to be a lot of touring with the band. So I'm really going to have to figure out where the band is going on tour and find certain cities where I could set up speaking engagements during the day of a show or on off days. So it's going to be pretty busy 2011 for me.
Right. Well, that's great. I really appreciate you coming on, Ben, and giving us an update on the Hangman Project, because I've really been sort of hanging on the edge of my seat waiting for that to manifest and come about. And I'm a little bit selfish here. I got you on just to find out that information.
Well, I'm glad you had me on. Honestly, I need that push. And, you know, I would love nothing more than the Hangman Project to really start pushing along and getting more involved. I just want it to happen organically and naturally. So things are going to happen in 2011 with it, I promise.
Good. I'm going to keep emailing you and bugging you, too.
You like, should.
Ben, how's the Hangman Project going? You ready? You good to go?
You What's should. That's what I need. Definitely keep on me.
I will. Next week, we're going to have Dan Winter. And Dan Winter is going to be talking about fractal field technologies. So that should be pretty interesting. If you've ever seen any of Dan's videos, have you seen any of Dan's stuff, Ben?
Yeah, I used a little bit of his work in Chimatica too, because some
right,
quotes
right,
from him.
Right. Yeah, he's one smart puppy, that guy.
Yeah,
I don't know if he'll be able
definitely
to.
Definitely interested in mine.
I don't know if he'll be able to bring it down on the level we're all understanding what he's saying, but hey. It's going to be great. It's going to be a great show. I always like listening to what Dan has to say. And we're going to have you back on. Maybe when you're, if you got the Hangman Project, if you got a handle on it and you start maybe putting it out there a little bit, and then I'll have you back on, and then you'll have a full perspective on where you're going. And
Absolutely.
Where it ends, what not where you're going, but where it ends up. Because these things are sort of amorphous. They take mm-hmm. on their own life.
Even that's what I'm hoping.
If you have an intention, it changes and becomes its own little thing.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And we'll see a lot in the next upcoming months happening with the Hangman Project. So I would just say stay tuned and keep going back to the website.
We will. Thanks for your time and your effort. And we'll talk to everybody next week.
Thank you very much.
Happy holidays.
Thank you.
Happy holidays to everybody.
Happy holidays.
See you next time.